Christmas must be coming. We have all the signs. And I'm not just talking about the tinsel trail down at the Riverwalk. Floods and people disappearing without warning. Thieves breaking into homes. It must be Advent, right? The time for perplexing scriptures that disturb rather than comfort. Where's a manger scene, even with its flaws? Where are the Christmas carols, and why aren't we singing them? The stores have been playing them since Halloween. Why can't we keep it simple? Well, we are Presbyterians, so that may explain some of it. I recently saw a T-shirt that read, "Hold on, let me overthink this." I thought we could maybe buy those and put our denominational emblem on the back. Although I think you could put most mainline denominational emblems on the back of that shirt. Some people would say that's part of our problem, overthinking things. But I am thankful to belong to a community that doesn't take the easy route. He isn't an easy savior, and we owe him the respect of wrestling with difficult texts. We have to sort out what we really think about welcoming a savior whose strengths are in his willingness to be clothed in vulnerability, his desire to choose compassion over power. I give my Hallmark Christmas movie friends, Sherry, a hard time about their addiction. I scoff at their attraction to the endless reiterations of the same basic plot. Someone loses something, a friend, a spouse, a family member, a job, etc. Someone new comes into their world, or someone returns from their past, whom they find very disturbing. They are too attractive. Oh, they speak the truth. They are too attractive. Did I say that already? And by Christmas Eve, the world is restored and wedding bells are ringing. It's A Miracle on 34th Street or The Bishop's Wife, but without the angst. I tease my friends about their addiction, but who doesn't want a happy ending? Who doesn't want a world in which all the pieces fall into place at exactly the right times, and usually with puppies? Who doesn't want to live in a world where the biggest decision is whether to open a coffee shop or a tea shop, in a snow-covered town where everyone knows your name? Our reality is a world in which brawls break out at Black Friday sales. That's how we know that Christmas will soon be here. The Black Friday fights have been documented already this year and posted on social media for all the world to see. Fistfights broke out over flat-screen TVs and over, are you ready for this? The last remaining shark vacuum. Please, please, if you are ever present when one of my family members is about to get into a fight over a Christmas gift for me, please don't let them fight over a vacuum cleaner of any kind. I don't want one. Another fight broke out over etiquette. Etiquette, I'm not kidding. An elderly woman bumped a man with her cart, and he, according to another man who was watching, did not show the appropriate amount of respect for this woman. So he punched him for not having good manners. This is our world. This is our world. In the days to come, writes the prophet Isaiah, they will no longer learn how to make war. We won't be longing for a fight, and we will be ready for the things that matter. We will prepare for peace instead of war. We haven't reached that day yet. In fact, we haven't made much progress toward that day. We still give gifts that have blood on them. Much like our prehistoric ancestor dragged meat home from the kill, we battle it out at discount stores, bringing home gifts which have been clawed over. And though the child might not know how the gift arrived under the tree, the attitudes that brought it there are passed on from one generation to the next. And the blame is on us all, even if we have never been there. For we have created a world in which consumption is our guiding principle. And for those who live with economic uncertainty, Black Friday may just be the only thing that makes Christmas possible. We watch these fights. We read of the violence that breaks out during Christmas shopping, and our hope slips through our fingers. Where is Linus? And why won't he walk out here right now? And not just walk out here, but tell us what Christmas is all about. And why won't he drop his little security blanket? Have you heard how much people have made of that moment? The moment when he drops his security blanket is a thing on the internet. It's because he drops it when he tells what the promise of hope is. So the symbolism of not needing a blanket when he knows that his hope is in Jesus' birth. Do we have any idea what it is we are getting ready for? I read an article the other day about the best day to decorate for Christmas. Don't decorate before Thanksgiving, the author wrote, and my sister said, "Amen," very loudly. Let Thanksgiving be its own holiday. She criticized her best friend from college for doing this. And don't decorate on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You will either be too tired from the cooking or too tired from the eating, or you need to spend time with your friends from out of town, or you will be at those Black Friday sales. The perfect day to decorate for Christmas is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Now you know. I kind of missed it. I put up some lights because I needed to. But my yard is so buried in leaves that I can hardly see it. There is so much that I need to get rid of before I can get ready. Now, I love holiday decorations. I love the tree and the wreath and the lights. I love getting out my collection of nativity scenes. I love the cookies and the eggnog and the stockings and the advent calendars. But I must ask myself how any of that prepares me for the cataclysmic event that is the birth of a poor Jewish boy. And I must ask myself if I have the courage to meet him here. I have to ask myself if I have enough hope to welcome him into my home again. Will everything that I love so much, from the music to the gifts, be a distraction from the truths I need to consider? Our text from Matthew is puzzling and intriguing, and it makes us squirm a little, but we can't keep ourselves from thinking about it. This text launched an entire series of books, the Left Behind novels. What does this mean that two people minding their own business will be separated, one taken and one left? What about they're just working and one of them's gone? And could it be that the one who is taken is simply the one who accepts the invitation to go in a particular direction, the way of Jesus? We must continually resist the temptation to obsess over what the end of the world might mean. We serve a loving God who promises to seek and save all people, all. And that is enough. That is God's work. In the meantime, we are always to be ready to encounter God's presence in our world. And that takes courage. That means standing up for what is right, even when it is terribly unpopular. It means serving and sacrificing and forgiving. Theologian and author Barbara Brown Taylor describes this chapter of Matthew's writings as carrying three distinct instructions. Written as an encouragement to people who had given up on God's return, Matthew seeks to rekindle their energy. They had stopped watching, stopped waiting, stopped hoping. They had lost their courage in the face of the desolation, when the temple was destroyed, and that had been their hope. And it confronted them every day. So in the first section, Matthew reminds us of the power of enduring love. Enduring love. Not just love for the happy, feel-good moment. Enduring love. In the next section, he writes of discernment. Oh, that's a tricky one, isn't it? And in the final section, the portion we read today, he speaks of alertness, readiness. Here's how to hold on. Keep loving, keep discerning, and keep watching. Taylor writes, "Therefore you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." How do you deal with a piece of advice like that, she says. Well, why not be ready all the time, not only for the end, but for whatever the moment brings. Every morning when you wake up, decide to live the life God has given you to live right now. Refuse to live yesterday over and over again. Resist the temptation to save your best self for tomorrow. Do not put off living the kind of life you meant to live. There is no time for that, no matter how much time is left. Go ahead and make the decision, she continues. Write the letter. Get the help you need. Find someone to love. Give yourself away. Why waste your time making preparations for an end time you cannot predict? Live prepared. Live a caught-up life, not a put-off life, so that wherever you are, standing in a field or grinding at the mill or just going about your everyday business of your life, you are ready for God, for whatever happens next, not afraid but wide awake, watching for the Lord who never tires of coming to the world. Who never tires of coming to the world. I didn't Google the perfect day to take down your Christmas decorations, so I don't know what the wisdom of the internet would say about that. But tradition tells us that we should at least take the tree down before the new year. I would guess that in most homes, all signs of Christmas are gone before we break out the new calendar. It's a practical thing, right? And yet the church will always tell time its own way. We will start the new year today. And the day after Christmas will still be very early in the year, but it will be an important time. The Magi didn't find Jesus until he was a toddler, but we managed to give them a couple of weeks. That means we have probably tucked the nativity scene away before the foreigners have even risked their lives to find him. Maybe we should leave them out this year, or just one of them. Maybe we should leave them out all year. They may be the reminder we need to always be watching. We can watch the skies as they did, but I hope we will watch things closer to home. We need to be watching the faces of our neighbors. We need to listen to the voices of the children and youth. We need to pay attention to what is happening around the world and in our own backyards. Jesus is coming. Day after day he enters in. Day after day we have the opportunity to encounter him if we pay attention. Day after day we have the opportunity to be his compassion in our world. There is so much we do not know, cannot know. But we know this. We know what love looks like. It's a baby. For some of us, frightening, so fragile, and we're scared to hold. For others, we can't wait to get our hands on him, right? But all those reactions are good, and all of those reactions are appropriate. And maybe a toddler is even scarier, so maybe we should travel with the Magi and give ourselves a little more time. But let's watch, and let's wait, and let's prepare our gifts for him. The Advent season has begun. Let us urge one another on with the courage of a child who will be born into a broken world. Thanks be to God. Amen.